Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And of all the candidates to have a very viral video online moment right now and getting a lot of love for it across the political spectrum, it is our almost written off as a presidential hopeful local governor, Chris Christie, and it's about addiction. Here's some context. The mayor of Manchester, New Hampshire, has implored the presidential candidates parading through his state to focus not just on jobs or climate change, things like that, but also on drug addiction, especially heroin. It's a huge problem in the state and across the country, including all over our area. At a town hall meeting in New Hampshire, Governor Christie recently told a few stories of addiction and why we, as a matter of policy, he says, need to change the way we deal with people who are addicted to and abusing drugs. So we'll play two extended excerpts from the video, already viewed more than 2 million times on YouTube in just the few days since his talk. We will start with this one. Here's the governor telling a personal story about a law school friend of his who seemed to have it all, but overdosed on, got addicted to prescription pills.
He came from an Ivy League school to Seton Hall. He was the smartest of all of us. He became an editor of the Law Review. He was the first one of us who got a job out of school. Got it at a big, prominent law firm in our state. He's making more money than any rest of us. He married an incredibly beautiful woman who's a doctor. They have three gorgeous daughters. So we loved him, but we hated him. Because the guy had everything, right? He was running one day in his normal routine. He hurt his back. And so he went to the doctor because he was having trouble working. It was really hurt. And so he said, listen, we're going to give you some treatment, whatever. But in the meantime, just to help you get you through, we're going to give you Percocet. Well, about a year later, I get a call from his wife. And she said, he's addicted to these painkillers. And he won't listen. And I kicked him out of the house. And he's living at his parents' house, and you guys need to go and have an intervention with him. So we all went over there. We had an intervention with him, and it started a 10-year odyssey of him being in and out of rehab. During that period of time, she divorced him. He lost his right to see his girls. He lost his license to practice law. He lost his driver's license. He lost his home. He bought himself a condo, and she kicked him out. He lost that. He lost all the money, spent all the money that he had saved, and then spent through most of his retirement when a year and a half ago on a Sunday morning, Mary Pat and I got the call that we'd been dreading forever, that they found him dead in a motel room with an empty bottle of Percocet and an empty quart of vodka, 52 years old. By every measure that we define success in this country, this guy had it. Great-looking guy, well-educated, great career. He's a drug addict, and he couldn't get help. And he's dead. And when I sat there as the governor of New Jersey at his funeral and looked across the pew at his three daughters sobbing because their dad is gone, there but for the grace of God go I. It can happen to anyone. And so we need to start treating people in this country, not jailing them. We need to give them the tools they need to recover because every life is precious. Every life is an individual gift from God. And we have to stop judging and start giving them the tools they need to get better.
Governor Christie from the town hall meeting the other day. It was the one of the, I don't have the exact day, it was one of the last days of October in New Hampshire. We did make some internal edits in that for time, but you certainly get the idea. And we'll play one more excerpt. But here with me now to talk about this is Frank Greenigle. He's a professor at the Rutgers School of Social Work and an addiction and recovery treatment counselor. And he serves on the New Jersey Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse and the New Jersey Heroin and Other Opiates Task Force. Frank, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian. Good morning.
And as an addiction and recovery counselor, do you appreciate when Governor Christie says we need to start treating people in this country, not jailing them? Is there a policy statement being made there as a presidential hopeful?
You know, it's a very good speech, and I've heard him make different variations of that speech the last couple years. And so I think that if for nothing else, it gets the message out there, it reduces stigma, and people are talking about it. And one of the interesting things is that presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle seem to be almost tripping over themselves to identify that they have a family member or friend who had a drug or alcohol problem, which, if you think about, that's a massive turnaround from 20 or 30 or 50 years ago.
Listeners, if you want to call in with your reactions to that, personal or political, 212-433-WNYC. And if you have addiction in your background or with a loved one's background, what do you want politically? What do you want on a policy level? What can a presidential hopeful promise that would mean something to you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And how about you, Frank? What do you look for from political leaders on this?
That's a great question, Brian. And you know, I've been frustrated with Governor Christie for several years now because he talks a very good game. And like I said, I'd rather have him talk about this issue than not talk about it. But he's fought the New Jersey legislature on a number of issues, he dragged his feet on the Good Samaritan law, and he hasn't mandated the PMP despite that's a prescription drug monitoring program, which the legislature wanted him to do. And when he expanded the drug court several years ago, he didn't fund it. So, New Jersey has a budget crisis like other states, and I don't know how much people are going to win elections by prioritizing drug issues and mental health, despite the fact that it's becoming a presidential issue. But what I really
want to say, the Good Samaritan bill you're referring to, that's if you are in possession of drugs or high on drugs and you bring somebody to the attention of the authorities because they're having an overdose and they need immediate medical attention, that you are going to be held harmless, right?
Correct. And Washington State was the first state. We were about the ninth or tenth state to do it. And it was pushed by people like Patty Dorenzo down in South Jersey after her son had passed away from this disease. And they... And the governor dragged his feet on it and vetoed the bill, and he eventually signed it into law 6 months after the fact because there was such a grassroots push for it. But you nailed the policy implications of that bill perfectly. So really,
So you've been frustrated with Christie because he's opposed to that.
Delayed it. So, like, you know, he eventually that bill was passed in May of 2013, but it got to his desk in 2012, and he vetoed it, saying that it would protect drug dealers, which was farcical. And so there's been I have tons of examples of those things, but I don't think you want me on to criticize Christie so much as maybe talk about other policy issues that can be done now.
Go ahead.
So I think what we really need in schools, we need a school curriculum of addressing prescription drug issues, because prescription drugs are really the gateway drugs to larger addiction, whether it's opiate painkillers like Percocet or Percodan or Vicodin or Oxycontin, or stimulants like Adderall. And if you're not starting by age 10 talking to these kids, it's going to be too late, because a lot of things happen at the ages of 12 and 13. And we need a national expansion of drug courts, and not just expanding these drug courts, but funding them. And drug courts cost about 20% of incarceration, and they have much better success rates. People who complete drug court have lower recidivism than people who are sentenced to jail or prison, which saves, regardless of whether you feel these lives are worthwhile, it saves the public dollars. My holy grail is insurance reform. There was a Mental Health Addiction Parity Act passed in 2008, where Congress finally agreed that the brain is part of the body, which seems wild, but the idea is that mental health and drug issues should be treated the same way as physical issues. And it mandated the insurance companies pay for that, but they didn't do it. And when the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, it said states and insurance companies must obey the 2008 law, and people are still not doing it. So former Representative Patrick Kennedy has done a really good job with the Kennedy Forum pushing these issues and pushing parity. And so that's of all the things I want to see done, that is what I think is the most important.
So here's another clip from the Christie Town Hall event. This is about a minute and a half, in which Governor Christie likens his mother's cigarette smoking to other drug addiction.
My mother was a smoker. She smoked her whole life. She was addicted to nicotine. She started when she was 16 years old, which was 1948. But by the time 1964 came, the Surgeon General's report came out, and she was in her mid-30s, she knew that smoking was bad for you. And I tell you, I watched her as a kid growing up. She tried everything she could to quit. She had the gum, the patches, hypnosis. She tried everything. She couldn't quit. Now, when she turned 71, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. No one came to me and said, don't treat her because she got what she deserved. We know the lung cancer was caused by the smoking. We know it was. But no one came to me and said, hey, listen, your mother was dumb. She started smoking when she was 16. Then after we told her it was bad for her, she kept doing it. So we're not going to give her chemotherapy. We're not going to give her radiation. We're not going to give her any of that stuff. You know why? Because she's getting what she deserves. No one said that. No one said that about someone who had cancer. Yet somehow, if it's heroin or cocaine or alcohol, we say, well, they decided they're getting what they deserved. The 16-year-old teenage girl on the floor of the county lockup, addicted to heroin, I'm pro-life for her too. Her life is just as much a precious gift from God as the one in the womb. And we need to start thinking that way as a party and as a people, and the president needs to say those things.
Natalie in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. This is background. I have a brother who died of a heroin overdose, and both my parents are recovered alcoholics. So this speech, it was really important, and I generally really don't like Chris Christie, so I'm kind of in like a weird place now. But it's just, I feel like it's like, for me, I knew that my brother had a problem, and I was the only one who knew, and I didn't say anything. And I know that that's not why he died, but at the same time, if there was less stigma and it was something that was looked at as a disease and not just, oh, these, you know, bad people do heroin, then it may have been easier, for me to do something. And also it might have been easier for him to reach out for help. And I think that it's really, really, really important that this happens. And also I'm on all types of levels, because, you know, there's incarceration rates are absolutely absurd and ridiculous. And
yes, Natalie, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your story, which is obviously very painful and difficult, and chiming in on this. Jay in Rockville Center, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jay.
Yes, hi, thanks. Of course, Governor Christie's sentiments are appropriate and they're accurate, but why it seems to fly in the face of what everybody expects from him is because, as part of the immoderate Republican branch, they seem to have no empathy for anything or anyone unless it hits their family, whether it's gay rights, whether it's health care, whether it's addiction, whether it's tobacco addiction. It just flies in the face what everybody expects, because nobody expects it. It's just the opposite of what this branch of the Republican Party seems to stand for.
Jay, thank you very much. So, Frank, as a matter of policy, and you were seeming to start to go there before, is Governor Christie, I'll give you another example from Twitter. Somebody just wrote in, yeah, this is all, you know, very moving, and I don't have it in front of me. Oh, here it is. Nice Christie clip. No, that's the wrong one. Forgive me. I'm going to scroll back through my Twitter feed. I apologize for this. Oh, I can't find it. But basically he's saying, yeah, he says all this, but then he fights to continue to arrest people who use marijuana. So how do you put the whole Christie drug policy in the context of this speech and the empathy, to use the word from the last segment, therein, since he's actually running for president of the United States?
You know, I think that I'm really happy to see Republicans dealing with this, because I think that drug reform and criminal justice reform, it requires, if not Republican leadership, at least Republicans to help move it along, because Democrats were afraid for so many years of being soft on crime and too much of a bleeding heart. So, you know, the fact that I had strong hopes for Christie when he came in, because a former prosecutor talking about drug policy reform was really a dream. And he does a great job. The previous caller was brilliant in the fact that Christie and other politicians do a nice job when that issue hits home. But unless it hits home, they fail to have any kind of empathy. And the point of marijuana is key. Governor Christie believes that marijuana should be criminalized and that people should lock up and, you know, be locked up. And when he was in Colorado a month or two ago, he talked about how he would enforce the federal law and lock people up. And and what it leads me to believe is that while Christie knows had this law school friend who became addicted for prescription drugs and died, and he can now have great empathy and talk about substantive policy changes, he doesn't know anyone who was arrested for smoking marijuana at the age of 19 or 21 and had a hard time getting student loans or getting a job because of that and had an albatross around their neck. And of course, his son probably doesn't even know someone like that because he went to Princeton and was surrounded by other kids who, if they got in trouble, I'm sure they got off. So the previous caller is exactly correct. Christie has a good understanding of the opiate issue, and he's saying all the right things, but the policy issues aren't there. And unless it directly hits home, he and other politicians of his ilk don't seem to have a grasp of how it's affecting regular Americans.
I see that you've also started a treatment program for young people with opiate problems in New Brunswick called College Recovery. You want to talk about it?
Yes, thank you, Brian. Their website is collegetreatmentcenter.com. And when I was on the opiate task force, we kept getting testimony from the parents of children who had passed away. And I say children, I'm talking about age 15 to 29, who had died because they couldn't get into treatment or they stayed in treatment and then their insurance companies booted them out or the treatment they were getting wasn't very good. And so one of the things that myself and some of the other task force members talked about was we need more programs in New Jersey. So I spent a year with some very motivated private individuals to set up a treatment program for young people with opiate issues where they can get long-term outpatient care with supportive housing. And that's what we opened a year ago in New Brunswick, and it's called College Recovery. And I was really proud to help them out, and I consult for them now, and they're doing a great job, and they've turned a lot of lives around.
Well, people will support who they support for president, but Chris Christie at least getting a lot of attention along the political spectrum for this speech on addiction in New Hampshire. It was a Huffington Post framing of the video that I think went so viral. So Huffington Post, they played an excerpt of it on Rachel Maddow last night with praise for Christie on MSNBC. You don't see that every day. So at least the conversation is taking place, but they also have to be held to account for their policies to deal with it. We thank Frank Greenigal, professor at the Rutgers School of Social Work and an addiction and recovery treatment counselor, and who has served on the New Jersey Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse and the New Jersey Heroin and Other Opiates Task Force. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.